Wherever Hannah is now, in the future, she is aware of the line of movement Kip's body followed out of her life. Her mind repeats it. The path he slammed through among them, when he turned into a stone of silence in their midst. She recalls everything of that August day, what the sky was like, the objects on the table in front of her going dark under the thunder. She sees him in the field, his hands clasped over his head, and then realizes this is a gesture not of pain but of his need to hold the earphones tight against his brain. He is 100 yards away from her in the lower field when she hears a scream emerge from his body which had never raised its voice among them. He sinks to his knees as if unbuckled, stays like that, and then slowly gets up and moves in a diagonal towards his tent, enters it and closes the flaps behind him. There is the dry crackle of thunder and she sees her arms darken. Kip emerges from the tent with the rifle. He comes into the Villa San Girolamo and sweeps past her, moving like a steel ball in an arcade game, through the doorway and up the stairs, 3 steps at a time. She hears his feet along the hallway as she continues to sit at the table in the kitchen, the book in front of her, the pencil, these objects frozen and shadowed in the pre-storm light. He enters the bedroom. He stands at the foot of the bed where the English patient lies. "Hello, sapper." The rifle stock is against his chest, its sling braced against his triangled arm. What was going on outside? Kip looks condemned, separate from the world, his brown face weeping. The body turns and fires into the old fountain and the plaster explodes dust. He pivots back so the rifle points at the Englishman. He begins to shudder, and then everything in him tries to control that. "Put down the gun, Kip." He slams his back against the wall and stops his shaking. "I sat at the foot of this bed and listened to you, Uncle," he says, "these last months. When I was a kid I did that, the same thing. I believed I could fill myself up with what older people taught me. I believed I could carry that knowledge, slowly altering it, but in any case passing it beyond me to another. I grew up with traditions from my country, but later, more often, from your country, your fragile white island that, with customs and manners and books and prefects and reason, somehow converted the rest of the world. You stood for precise behavior. I knew if I lifted a teacup with the wrong finger, I'd be banished. If I tied the wrong kind of a knot in a tie, I was out. Was it just ships that gave you such power? Was it, as my brother said, because you had the histories and printing presses? You and then the Americans converted us with your missionary rules. And Indian soldiers wasted their lives as heroes so they could be pucker. You had wars like cricket. How did you fool us into this? Here, listen to what you people have done." He throws the rifle on the bed and moves towards the Englishman. The crystal set is at his side, hanging off his belt. He unclips it and puts the earphones over the black head of the patient, who winces at the pain on his scalp. But the sapper leaves them on him. Then he walks back and picks up the rifle. He sees Hannah at the door. One bomb, then another. Hiroshima. Nagasaki. He swerves the rifle towards the alcove. The hawk in the valley air seems to float intentionally into the V-sight. If he closes his eyes, he sees the streets of Asia full of fire. It rolls across cities like a burst map, the hurricane of heat withering bodies as it meets them, the shadow of humans suddenly in the air, this tremor of Western wisdom.